This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Motion to the right on second and eight from the 17. Caleb Williams under center, drags another tight end. Smythe in motion. Here's the snap of the play fake. Williams rolling to his left, running now. 15, 10, 5, end zone! Tiptoes in! Touchdown in the blue paint! Caleb Williams! 17 yards, took care of business himself.
Thank you to Bears Radio. This had to be refreshing for the Bears fans. Finally, you're on the winning side of some of these close games. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Now, Perl, has it been a murderer's row that the Bears have beaten lately to get to 6-3? No, they beat New Orleans. They beat Cincinnati. Now the New York Giants yesterday, even though the Giants had a 10-point lead through most of the game, and Jackson Dart got knocked out of the game. Russell Wilson had to come in. It was a debacle on the Giants' side. But again, you know, I don't think this Bears team was anywhere close to being a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
But they just want to show that the arrow is pointing in the right direction here. Now, Ben Johnson is in the locker room after these games, like, you know, he's so hyped up. You would think they won the Super Bowl, but this is what happens when teams are bad for a long time, right? And not really competitive. I know there was one playoff run with Mitchell Trubisky, but like they haven't really been that competitive. And Caleb looks good. He does. It's not awesome all the time. He's not perfect. He's not Drake May. He's not Jaden Daniels when Daniels is healthy. But at least it's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're 6-3. That record's going to come back down to earth. So I just the way they're winning is not, to me, super impressive. Caleb is not good. He's great scrambler. He is not running the offense the way Ben Johnson wants.
The Bears.
I mean, we've seen teams. It reminds me of Daniel Jones with the Giants a few years ago. If you have a scrambling quarterback, you can get a bunch of close wins. Remember Vince Young and the Titans. Like, Caleb is just not developing the way the offense should. There's something going on. I don't know what it is. Like, I think actually it was bad weather probably against the Giants. I'll give you that.
Yeah, had a little
snow. But why isn't the offense looking like anything or even the slightest resemblance to Jared Goff and the Lions?
Okay, but
cut and dried.
Jared Goff and the Lions were 3-13-1 the first season. Like, you're year one with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, year one, week 10.
Yeah, but Jared Goff was on.
Is it supposed to look like the finished product? And Jared Goff had way more experience.
I don't know. The passing offense still isn't looking any better. It's getting almost worse.
But Pearl, like, you know that there's going to be some growing pain. So, like, and what's going to be the measure here of when this thing is working? I'll grant you, it doesn't look like Drake May. I've said that. It does not look that way as far as the passing offense. But they're already incorporating some of the signature trick plays that happened last week where Caleb caught a touchdown for the first time.
That's all Ben Johnson.
It's Ben Johnson, exactly. And so, do you not think that the arrow is pointing up here? You just think that Caleb is a bust.
Yeah, I do think the coach's arrow is. No, I don't think he's a bust. I just think that he needs to improve a little bit more. I think if you look maybe 3 years down the road, I have a sense that maybe Ben Johnson is there and Caleb Williams is not. because I just these wins don't prove much to me. They really don't. He's a tough guy. There's no doubt about it. Like, forget all the reports about him. I just don't want to see him. Like, he needs to do these crazy runs. He's a great athlete. There's no doubt about it. But you can't just have a 25-yard scramble in the fourth quarter every week. You got to start moving the ball. Maybe it'll click, but it hasn't clicked yet.
Okay,
it might click, but it has not clicked at all. And it really wasn't clicking on Sunday very well.
I'll give
they
you that.
They are what we thought they were.
But here's the thing, right? Like, you needed two touchdowns at the end of that game, and Caleb Williams delivered you two touchdowns
with
at
his
the
legs.
End. With his legs, but fine. Like, we talk about running quarterbacks, especially when you're young. You can win some games, and it reminds me a little bit. Now, it doesn't look the same, but Jaden Daniels last year, Pearl, with the Commanders, they won all these close games, ones they had no business winning.
With a running quarterback, right.
Pulling them out of where the sun don't shine. And they got to the playoffs, and they were able to go on the road and beat Tampa. They beat a banged-up Detroit Lions team, who was the number one seed, and then obviously met your Eagles, and they got blown out. But, like, why
can't— He was an electric passing— But he was at a great passer. Caleb is probably a good passer right now. Jaden was way better at throwing the ball than Caleb has been so far.
Okay, well, that's also on Ben Johnson, is it not? Like,
no,
you want to give Ben
Caleb.
Johnson this
no,
pass.
That's what I'm saying. It's on Caleb.
It's not Ben Johnson as the offensive-sided head coach, offensive guru, to help develop Caleb Williams into a better passer.
It's just slow. It's just slow. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying in 3 years, I think Ben Johnson might be here, and I'm not as convinced that Caleb Williams will be here. Probably will be, because he's definitely good, but I don't know, like, why that looks nothing like Detroit.
Well, because what did Detroit look like the first year with Ben Johnson, right? Like, you're fast-forwarding.
But Jared
Ben
Goff
Johnson,
was already a veteran.
Well, he had already played in a Super Bowl. It was very, very different, and it played for Sean McVay. I mean, Caleb Williams has none of that. He was playing for Matt Eberflus at this time last year. And, you know, to me, I just feel like for Caleb, like, it doesn't always look good. I'll give you that. But you can see what's going on and why they can't play faster. Well, they play outside. You know, that's the other part, too. You don't have the Detroit Lions. You're not an indoor team. And thankfully, they're actually not built like that, because that's never going to win you games in the NFC North.
That's kind of why Caleb should have avoided Chicago. I was like, on Sunday, remember there was that rumor that he didn't want to go to Chicago? I'm like, this is why you don't want to go to Chicago. The weather's crappy. Maybe he's built for that because he could be a running quarterback. But again, I just expected a little more. You know, they have Roman Dunze, they have Colson Loveland, they have Cole Kmet. I don't know. They feels like it should be a little bit easier. That's what I'm saying. Like, they should destroy the Giants at home.
But do you think that some of that had to do with a lot of drops in that weather? Like, I watched that game, and Caleb Williams made some throws that were like, woof.
Right, but then
sometimes just couldn't make the plays.
You're telling me there's some plays where he misses?
Yeah, he does. He's inconsistent. I just thought that the Bears left a lot of points on the board. Like, there were multiple throws. There were touchdown throws that they did not make because, I mean, the guy, Zacchaeus, I mean, that guy, they should have left him on the field and said, hey, go to the jug machine and just keep catching the ball until you catch 100.
Let me ask you this.
He dropped like four passes yesterday.
Let me ask you this. If Jack Sadar doesn't get hurt, who wins that game?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'll be honest.
Giants win somewhat easily.
But here's the thing. This is actually not a Jackson Dart thing. We'll get to Dart in a second. But the Giants have had four games where they've had the lead by at least 10 points, and they've lost four with Jackson Dart on the field. So you actually have no idea whether or not he would have been able to hold on to the lead. Now, I'll grant you, Russell Wilson did not do anything. And I don't know why Jameis Winston isn't the first one out on the field after Jackson Dart gets hurt. I don't know why Russell Wilson is actually the backup. I think it should be Jameis. But the Giants have, you know, made this their habit.
Mm.
So I don't think you can confidently say that.
Unlimited.
I don't know. It felt like Jackson Dart was running wild on that Chicago defense. We'll see. So there's Chicago 6-3 right now. And they needed to go down to the wire with a 2-8 Giants team at home. I think that record's coming closer down to 500.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
888-710-4ISN. How do you want to put this? Like, I think that the Bears are trending up. Now, listen, they do have the interesting part of their schedule is coming up next. So at Minnesota, Pittsburgh, home for Pittsburgh, at your Philadelphia Eagles, and then at Green Bay. This is going to be an interesting stretch for them and a big test. Yeah, now,
to play better than they did on Sunday, and they probably will. I mean, maybe they're playing down to the Giants. Yeah, again, they should have lost to Cincinnati, who's at, what, 3-8 or something like that? Or, no, they have a bad record, too. They have been in games with medium teams. Like, I just have a lot. I guess we have different bars for the Bears. I think, like, you just want to see development.
Yes.
I think at 6-3, you got to wonder, Caleb Williams, remember at USC and Oklahoma, he was the best thrower in college football. It should be easier for the Bears. Their offense just feels like it is. Something is missing.
My question is how do Bears fans feel? Because we asked this question all offseason, was if the Bears win 10, 11 games, but Caleb Williams doesn't throw for 4,000 yards,
yeah,
is that a disappointing season? Perloff, you kept saying yes. Matthew, you kept saying no.
Right.
I think we're headed down that path, that the Bears are going to win 10 to 11 games, and Caleb Williams is not going to have these big, impressive, gaudy numbers. How would you feel as a Bears fan if that is how the season plays out?
See, I think now that we're in it, it's about winning games, right? And it's about winning games however you can win them. And you see the locker rooms all fired up and hand out the game balls and all that stuff. Like, hey, Ben Johnson said yesterday after the game, we had them exactly where we wanted them. Like down 10 with like 2 minutes left to go or whatever,
Have you seen the Giants? I mean, that's pretty accurate, to be
honest. This is one of the three worst teams in the league. I mean,
their competition.
The Giants, yeah. And I think it is interesting. I understand what you're saying. Caleb Williams, I think he's had a better season than I kind of maybe expected. But you're right. He's probably not going to reach 4,000 yards. And I do think some Bears fans, we'll see how he does against these really good teams. If he can beat the Packers, then forget it. Then that is impressive. But beating the Giants at home, that's a W, but that doesn't do anything for me.
Right now, Caleb Williams on the season has 2,136 yards. So he's on pace to break it because we still... It's week 10, isn't it?
Yeah, so he's like right on that cusp.
13 touchdowns right now to go with 4 interceptions. But maybe a good thing for him is last year he took 68 sacks and he only has 14 sacks this year. And only had one yesterday.
And he's obviously, he's a fourth quarter gamer. Don't you feel like young mobile quarterbacks win games like these with their legs? And eventually what happens?
They get hurt.
I mean, Jaden Daniels, Jackson Dart. By the way, Josh Allen is the one exception. He decided to take that game over on Sunday with his legs, and usually he should have won that game. Felt like he was going to, and then something weird happened.
Well, he can't throw a pick in the end zone. We'll get back to the Bills in a moment because that was probably the most stunning result of the weekend and clearly a bad sign. And people who are paying attention to the Bills really closely knew that they were 100% capable of losing a game this way. But quickly to the Giants side now. We're asking you, were you impressed at all by Caleb Williams? They're now 6-3, the Bears are, 888-710-4ISN. To the Giants side of things. Pro mentioned it. This started with the debacle at Denver, where the Giants were up by 10, lost that game in the last few seconds, 33-32. The next week, your Philadelphia Eagles, they lost 38-20. Then San Francisco, 34-24. Now Chicago, 24-20. They've lost 4 in a row, and Jackson Dart got knocked out of the game with a concussion, which was the most obvious thing that was going to happen this season. You've already lost Scadaboo.
Yeah.
He's gone. And these guys, the two of them, play so recklessly. And by the way, Jackson Dart gets the concussion, came back into the game for 2 plays. Like, they didn't make the switch until the third quarter ended. Yeah. They went to the fourth quarter with Russell Wilson. Brian Daboll may get fired off of that. Like, you remember when he went into the medical tent to try to check on Jackson Dart? He got fined $15,000, I think, for that. Pearl, I thought maybe Daboll would survive because if Dart looks like he's being developed, maybe they want to stick with the continuity and, not mess up a young quarterback by changing coaches and all of that. That's gone. I mean, you're 2-8 team. And I thought yesterday, even on the defensive side, which is definitely the defensive line is the bread and butter of this team, no doubt. I thought they weren't tackling well. They left some stuff out there. You have Brian Burns missing tackles. I'm like, that is insane.
Caleb Williams at some plays looked like Michael Vick. I mean, he was juking like Abdul Carter and Burns. It looked like they had him dead to rights. And Caleb is a underrated good athlete. But there were times where, last year those were sacks. Like he sacked a million times. You would think the Giants, when they had those free rushes at him, they were gonna bring him down, and he would just make a juke move and shake a guy out of his shoes, and he was off 10-15 yards. I mean, that was an incredibly disappointing performance by the Giants offensive line.
Well, let me ask you this. You guys shut down Jackson Dart for the year. Schefter just tweeted that it's his fourth time he's been checked for a concussion. We know from our buddy Chris Nowinski how progressive this is.
Yep.
I think at 2-8, what's the point? I mean, why would I don't think they will, but it's getting a little worrisome that maybe he needs a longer rest for the head injuries.
Yeah, hopefully this decision is out of their hands, you know? Hopefully there's like an independent neurologist who comes in and just says, you know, either he's not going to pass concussion protocol and he's going to have to take a seat, or somebody who actually has his best interest in mind to be like, listen, it's your rookie season. We got a long way to go here. And he looks like he's the guy for New York. But if he's going to be in concussion protocol or he's not going to protect himself, then you're never going to get the full Jackson Dart experience anyway.
Yeah, and it's so funny. Like, it's not a great year. It's not a great draft to have a top five pick. Like, I don't know what they have their quarterback, so they don't really even need a draft pick. And it's supposed to be reportedly a very down draft. It feels a little bleak right now.
They need some corners.
Yeah, I don't know if there's one in the top five. I mean, if they're the number three pick, you're not taking a cornerback.
No, but maybe you trade out. We still have some
Nobody's
time in this
trade
college
up this
season.
Year. It's
we might
to be
have
bad.
A little time. I mean, you have teams desperate for quarterback. Although yesterday with the Saints, now the Saints beat the Panthers, Eesh. Which I don't know if it matters or at all, but they obviously need a quarterback. You think Miami needs a quarterback. Cleveland needs a quarterback. The Jets need a quarterback. You've got a lot of teams with a big demand.
If I'm the Giants, I'm taking a wide receiver. You got to find someone to help, because it can't just be Malik Nabers or bust.
And Malik Nabers keeps getting hurt.
Right.
It's going to be brutal to watch Jeremiah Smith not being eligible for the draft and have a top three pick. So they'll take the other one, right? They'll take Carnell Tate.
Or Tyson from Arizona State, who's also had a huge year. He's slotted to be one of the top 10
picks. They have the number three pick, does that guy look like it? You don't want a wide receiver number three. You don't want a cornerback. You want a quarterback. You don't tank. The Giants should go all out to win because you only tank for a quarterback. But it feels like there's no silver lining here because Dart looks like he's injury prone. Brian Daboll, you're right, just laid out the case. He's probably gone.
Joe Shane might both be gone, by the way.
Malik Nabers coming off a massive injury. This is a very bleak time for Giants fans. I can't see what the silver lining is.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a bleak time, but you do feel like you have your guy in Dart.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird in between.
But it feels bleak because of the head injuries right now.
Yeah, definitely. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think Manny yesterday in our chat eloquently put it that his quarterback has mashed potatoes for brains.
So. Well, that's his coach's fault.
Yeah.
And I think that I've been on local radio in New York defending the idea that if Brian Daboll has done a good job with developing Dart, then he should be given the chance to continue that development, at least for another year. But yesterday was the first day where I thought, he's not doing a good job at that, because he's running this guy like he's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Also,
he's not Josh Allen. He's not 6'5". He's not 250.
Yeah.
He's half that size. He's athletic. He's quick. He took a shot in the first quarter where I was like, I thought he was going to cuss then. I was like, wow.
He might have.
I can't believe he got up. And then he took more hellacious shots. I mean, it's too much.
The other part, too, is if you're a coach and you keep giving up these 10-point leads, that's unforgivable, too. Like, that's your fireball offense. I know it's all about the quarterback, and we try to make it reductive down to that, but, like, clearly your in-game decision-making needs work.
And he's kept that defensive coordinator, Shane Bone, who's been embattled all season, and I don't know if that's an edict from the front office to keep him and that they can't get rid of him, but that has been a huge issue. It's clear the defense has lost confidence in him, and they believe they're going to lose these games down the stretch. They have no confidence when the game is close in the end.
Question for you. Do you believe in Caleb Williams? Have you been impressed with how the Bears have been able to win some of these last minute games? And the flip side, this Giants, so let's not to prematurely hand him the pink slip, Pearl, but if Brian Daboll does get fired with the Giants at 2-8, attractive job?
Oh my God, no. This franchise is just lost.
See, I think you look at the roster, and there actually is talent here. Look at the defensive line. You love the defensive line.
Well, I love Brian Burns. I don't know why.
Abdul Carter's like the midseason defensive rookie of the year for a lot of people. A lot of those articles just came out. It doesn't have the sack numbers, but
I don't know why they drafted that guy.
Well, strength on strength. I mean, you got the 3 overall pick, and you knew that you were going to get your quarterback later. And you got Dart. He's obviously not a zero. You've got Malik Nabers. Your offensive line actually has been shored up, which is something that, you know, plagued the Giants for a decade.
That's where I would go in the draft, by the way, is offensive line.
Yeah, they always need offensive line. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think it is a very attractive job. There's going to be, obviously, what do we average, 7 to 8 openings per offseason?
Yeah. That's I mean, but why have they been losing for so long? There must be something fundamental to the organization. I think they need to do a coach GM change and bring in a cohesive unit. I know nothing bothers you more than having the coach and GM on different timelines.
I hate it. 888-710-4ISN coming up. What happened to Aaron Rodgers last night? He did not look like the future Hall of Famer, that's for sure. We'll get to that next. Plus, the M&P 500, whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a big weekend.
You and I have got to disagree about this. I was not enthralled with the level of NFL football on Sunday. Basically, I thought games were over, and then they were back. Like, Houston, Jacksonville took them off my Sunday ticket.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I watched a lot of the Patriots, Buccaneers. That was kind of a fun call and a fun game. But then again, that game wasn't pretty either. This is a, I don't know, like we talked about it before the show. Is anybody great right now? I didn't watch any football Sunday or see any team. Maybe the Rams and the Seahawks that looked, and actually the Lions dominated. But the Rams and the Seahawks looked like, okay, they seem almost like they got everything where they want it right now. But generally, even the contenders look vulnerable.
Yeah, but even like you could poke holes, like even the Rams, right, who won this game, you mentioned at one point it did become a close game. I think that the 49ers got it to within a 10-point game and they had a 4th-and-4. Ball gets batted down. That could have been, if that's a touchdown drive, maybe it's game on. Mac Jones did have over 300 yards passing and a couple touchdowns. So even in a bad loss, you might be able to squint and see a good performance. But speaking of those Bucks, let's go to David, who's in Orlando. David, this is a tough one. You're coming off your bye week. You got a young quarterback coming into town. Usually Todd Bowles feasts on these young guys. How you doing? David, you there? David? I'll put you on hold. Okay, Richie in Queens. Richie wants to weigh in on the Giants' latest debacle. So that was a loss yesterday in the last seconds of the game in Chicago, and Jackson Dart out with a concussion. Good morning, Richie.
Hey, guys. How are you? You touched on it, Andrew. I mean, you look at those games. There's no rhyme or reason what's going on here. You could sit. Normally, you'd have 10 weeks in. Well, we're pointing to this as the real tough top teams. And it seems like it's up for grabs. I mean, Maggie, that was a terrible loss by Buffalo.
Horrible.
And if it's not for him, I don't know if they're an 8-win team. They've really taken a step back defensively. I look at the Rams real quick, guys, and I know they gave up 300 yards to Mac Jones yesterday, but they're top seven in offense, they're top seven in defense, and what Stafford is having an incredible year.
Yeah.
25-2. So could they be the team? You know, obviously Philly picked up some good stuff at the deadline with their defense and picked up a cornerback. But as far as my Giants, I was on real quick with Tiki yesterday. I'm on every week on Saturday mornings, and I sound like the old guy in the balcony, but they are. I don't want to hear about their defense. I just don't. Abdul Carter, I know he does good things. He spies on the quarterback. No. And Tiki brought up, I said, Tiki's got to get a sack on occasion. And he said to me, well, you know, he's a rookie. No, when you are good, individual, you're not a quarterback that has to learn a playbook. You're out there on the end. You're a defensive end. You make that move to show me that, hey, you're going to be down the guy down the road. Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence. And what they do at the end of the game to give up, when they give up 14 points in 4 minutes.
Yep.
And you know what I equated to, Maggie, real quick? They're like, oh, they have a lot of potential. They get close. There's a lot of pressures. It's like having a power hitter that hits the ball to the warning track. It doesn't quite get there. I never saw so many misses yesterday. And it's a reflection on Dable. I think he does have to go. And just to end it, I think Dart is the answer. And I don't want to hear that the reason you keep Dable is because you have to, because he's the guy that's going to progress Dart. If Dart's good, which I think he is, he will progress on his own.
Yeah.
It's been a disaster, guys. Thank you.
Richie, thank you for the call. I mean, I think Berloff and I disagree about the Giants. If they become open, if Brian Daboll does get fired, the team's 2-6 and has yet to win a game on the road this year, I think things are trending in a bad direction here for Dabes. But I think that's a really attractive job because you do have Dart. Now, if you can find a way to protect him, keep him upright, you have a guy who seems like, you know, can play the position. And so I agree with Richie. Like, you'd probably rather make that call earlier in a guy's career than later. But who is that coach that could come in and have that big impact? Are they going to go with like a Cliff Kingsbury? Would they go? Because you got to go offensive side of the ball, I imagine, just like they did with Dable.
Well, might as well just bring in Lane.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Because that's, Boomer down the hall was floating that last
week. Lane Kiffin?
Yeah.
Does Lane want to come to the pros?
That I don't know. That's what I was going
to
ask.
He loves, loves Jackson Dart. He talks about him so glowingly. I don't know. Lane's got a good thing going in college.
I was going to say, Lane's going to make the college football playoff this year. He's got Trinidad Shambliss, who's the backup.
Yeah, I mean, this would be attractive. Obviously, New York would be very attractive to Lane. More attractive than Florida, LSU, or Penn State, I think. He obviously had a terrible tenure with the Raiders. I think
Hold on one second. Yeah. Let's talk about money just for a minute. We're talking about Lane Kiffin potentially being on the Giants' radar if they fire Brian Daboll. Like, LSU handed Brian Kelly a $100 million contract. The Giants aren't doing that.
No.
Florida could scrap together God knows how much for Lane. Or maybe you just hold Ole Miss hostage and stay. I think he'd get a bigger payday in college than he would in the pros, right?
I don't know. I mean, the pros get paid a lot. How much does Dable make, for example?
I don't know. I think 5-6 a year, something like that.
It'll be a competitive market for him.
Lane probably makes 10 right now.
He probably could make 10 with the Giants. I would think there's going to be a market for Lane. Like the
if
Giants,
if they wanted them bad enough, they would have to pony up, comparatively speaking, to what...
I mean, Ben Johnson
somewhere in the range of what he's getting college-wise.
Ben Johnson made 10 to 12, I think, or something like that.
Kiffin right now is at $9 million per year.
Yeah, I'm seeing Daboll's around 5. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing, though, about Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Bears, went through 3 hiring cycles where he could have left and didn't.
Yeah.
He built his market, built his market to the point where an in-division rival was like, we'll give you everything you want.
Yeah, but I think Lane Kiffin
That's not what Lane Kiffin's walking into.
I think if the Giants want Lane Kiffin, I think they definitely will have to get... They'll have to give him a raise. I would think $12 million for sure. No,
problem. I know, but I just don't see the Giants handing out a $100 million contract where LSU just did that for Brian Kelly. They might do it again.
I also don't think he's earned it. Like he hasn't won a national title. He was a terrible NFL head coach. He's done a good job at Ole Miss, but you're paying him... Giving him a John Gruden contract? That sounds insane.
He's never been to the college football playoff.
Right.
I don't think it would be earning. I think it'd be market. You know, like Ben Johnson didn't earn anything and he just made $13 million a year.
I know. I'm just saying, I think it'd be a massive mistake. Like, first of all, these mega contracts given out to coaches usually end up.
Well, in college, they end up with a buyout.
And the college is terrible, but in the NFL, it's worse. Usually, when you give out, let's give this guy again, John Gruden, this King's Ransom contract, usually you end up regretting that.
I was just going to bring that up to give you 7 years, $62 million. So just a shade under 9 per year.
Those were terrible deals.
Well, I was, you know what? Yes, but I do understand paying for an NFL coach because you're paying wide receiver two, $23 million a year. Why wouldn't you be paying your coach $14 million?
That's fine, but to EJ's point, has Lane Kiffin earned that on the pro level?
I mean, yes, but no.
Or even on the college level.
But it's not about earning. It's about what's the market going to take. If you really want him to run that offense, then you're going to have to pay up. You know, who cares about earn? Is he the right guy? And he might be good. If you're going to go with Cliff, I mean, what's the difference? They're basically the same.
Cliff had more success in the NFL than Lane Kiffin, and that's not saying a lot, but Lane Kiffin was a disaster, and I know it was the Raiders.
He was 32.
And Cliff was really young when he took over the Cardinals. Like he was a young guy too. Now he's been around the block, and I've actually seen him run an offense in the NFL to some degree.
Yeah, but Cliff never did anything in college. He had a losing record.
Yeah.
Again, what I would argue, what has Lane done before the last few
years? He's got Ole Miss, Mississippi in the national title picture.
How many
years? Don't think that's a thing?
How many years did it take him? Cliff Kingsbury was at Texas Tech, and then he got fired, and he didn't get another shot. We didn't get to see what he would do at his second job. Imagine we judged Lane Kiffin on only Tennessee or USC. We would say that he was a joke, which what we were saying about him until he got to Ole Miss. He had to revamp his entire career. He had to go to Alabama. Had to go to Florida Atlantic. Like, Cliff Kingsbury didn't get that opportunity, but we've seen him at least go somewhere else in the NFL and have some success.
Well, I mean, Cliff's going to get paid too, by the way. There's only one Cliff.
Well, that's what I was saying. You're going to have 7 to 8 openings we average, but I think that the Giants are a good, attractive opening. But let's get to
see. By the way, there's one name, though, you guys did not mention. You got to mention him.
Bill Belichick.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no.
You know it's going to be brought up, though, in New York and in the Giant circles because of how much
it already has been
and
locally.
Everyone and how much they revere Bill Belichick.
But I think he wouldn't have gone to North Carolina if he thought that was coming free at some point. I mean, you don't think he called the Giants like 6 times saying, hey, you just had a terrible season with Dable. Bring me
in. He definitely did.
I think that's how the conversation went.
Yeah. No, I know Dable coached out of
him. Hey, John Mara, you free for, can I get, do you have a minute?
Oh,
can't
my God.
Can I tell
God.
You how much your coach sucks, who I was the one who told you to hire that guy?
Yeah.
Because
probably,
Dable was from Belichick, and then I told you to hire Joe Judge, who was also from Belichick, but now you're going to bring in the real thing?
We suck.
Well, he called the Jets. I mean, that's all you have to know. If he called the Jets, he must have called the Giants. I mean, harass the Giants.
I mean, at least the Jets had the opening. Like, they had already fired Robert Saleh.
I mean, Dable could have been gone this year.
The only thing here, and I think what EJ's getting after makes some sense, is what's going on with John Mara in his private
personal life.
Right?
Yeah, he's dealing with cancer.
Affinity for Belichick and the history of the Giants, you know, if he was looking to kind of hand it off to somebody that had a connection to the organization from the past. I don't know what the prognosis is. I know he says he's positive. I have no idea what the long term is for him there. But I could, from that standpoint, you could understand where maybe he'd circle back to it.
Yeah.
Not saying he will, but it's not out of the question.
And I get that. And on a human level, you understand it. And John Mayer's always been a gentleman. But that would be a mistake. To
and
go the nostalgia
just him,
route.
The Tisch family as well.
Yeah, the nostalgia route. Like, just if you want, you know, a comfortable pair of slippers and a robe, that's not how you run a franchise. Anyway, what else you got to say?
By the way, they always hire OCs, right? Isn't that the Giants? They're like, they are OCs or DCs, like.
Except for Joe Judge.
Judge.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying assistant NFL coach. They've hired like five assistant NFL coaches.
No, Pat Shurmur had been a head coach before.
Yeah, but he's, yes.
He came over, though.
But he's
an
offensive.
He did have head coaching experience.
Like
it wasn't very good.
They would. To take a college guy would be a massive left turn for that franchise.
Let's be fair.
Like.
The only reason we're talking about Kiffin is because of Dart's presence.
Yeah.
So let me start there just because, you know, you had Dart suffer the concussion yesterday. Giants end up blowing another one. They lose to the Bears in Chicago 24-20. This is wild, by the way. The Giants are now 0-4 this season in road games where they've led by 10 or more points. That's tough to do. So obviously that's a knock against Dable. Here he was in the postgame and exchange with at least one reporter. There might be two in here on Dart, the concussion, the fact that he continues to take as many hits as he does. This was the fourth time he had been checked for a concussion since he took over as the starter, which is not that long. It's a little bit of a back and forth between the media and the Giants head coach here on the rookie quarterback.
We've talked to you a lot about the number of hits that Jackson takes with the running, not getting down, things like that. Is this one where you feel like it caught up to him? This is the fourth time he's been checked for a concussion. He was sore getting up a week ago.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but, you know, unfortunately got hurt.
And then eventually
is he Mike McDaniel all of a sudden? Like, can he answer a question?
And they were like, so, you know, should you maybe run him less? And he was like, no. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not what you want, obviously, as you're a coach trying to save your job, and that's the meal ticket, and now he's got a concussion, and who knows if he'll be available to play next week when they're home against the Packers. Lions beat up the Commanders in Landover 44-22. How about 546 yards of offense for Detroit with Dan Campbell taking over as play caller for first-year offensive coordinator John Morton? Jared Goff knew there was more to his head coach than just that kneecap-biting talk, which he's famous for.
I've been saying it for years. He's not just this rah-rah guy. He's extremely smart and has a very good feel for people and players and obviously our team. And yeah, I thought he did a great job.
And Goff threw for 320 and three scores, one to Jahmyr Gibbs, who also ran for a 142 and two touchdowns. Lions are 6-3 ahead of a Sunday night road game against the Eagles, who visit the Packers tonight in Green Bay. Did you see the poison pill story with Micah Parsons and the Eagles yesterday? Did you guys discuss that already?
We did not talk about it yet, but go ahead.
Just interesting. This was sort of unbeknownst to everyone in the wake of the Parsons trade involving the Cowboys and the Packers that the Eagles had tried to trade for him. He's from the area, right? Grew up from the area, so on and so forth. So they put in the deal that if the Packers were to trade him to the Eagles, that they would owe Dallas their 2028 first-round pick. And that also involves Kenny Clark, who went the other way to
if
Dallas.
If he gets traded to an NFC North team. So I think it's actually the whole NFC East. Now, it's being talked about as the Eagles because the Eagles are the ones
NFC
who
East.
Called.
Yes.
But it's anywhere in the NFC East. But it's only for this year and next year.
Yes.
Michael Parsons.
That's it. So I don't know why Green Bay would pay Michael Parsons $47 million and then flip him to the Eagles. It makes no sense. These two teams met in the playoffs often, and including last year.
I guess a fail-safe more than anything else, just in case.
Yeah, it seems kind of... So it's the whole NFC East, but to me, this felt a little like the rest of the division acknowledging that Howie Roseman is just light years ahead of all the rest of them.
Right.
Because you basically put this in place because Howie Roseman, the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, is the boogeyman, along with maybe the Chiefs, like the one guy you don't want to trade with because you think he knows something you don't know.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Yeah.
I feel like, remember poison pills were a big thing like 10 years ago? Their famous one with Steve Hutchinson, I think that would cause a lot of problems.
They're big in the NBA, too.
Yeah, and
also, too, I think they were kind of legally challenged, like, from the union did not like the poison pill because it kept Steve Hutchinson from, he made a lot of money eventually. I think Jared Allen got hit by a poison pill. Anyway, yeah, I did not think this was a massive headline, and, like, a lot of people were talking about it this weekend.
Well, because it's Jerry, you know, it's Jerry Jones clearly feeling like, it's almost like he knew he screwed up. You know, so it's like, all right, I realize I'm trading away one of my best players and all I have to do is just make sure this person doesn't land in a spot where they're going to face me twice a year and make me eat it.
But honestly,
when you're
the Packers,
general manager, of which I am.
Eat it.
The Packers should have more fear of trading Micah Parsons to the Eagles than the Cowboys.
Yeah,
the Packers are actually going to play the Eagles.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's why it feels a little bit more like a failsafe, but such is life. Let me give you one college thing before I go here, because this is just out within the last, I don't know, hour or so. So Brian Kelly has reportedly rejected two financial settlement offers from LSU, and his attorneys have given school officials a deadline of sometime today to confirm in writing that they'll pay him the $54 million he's owed under the terms of his contract. So apparently they offered a lump sum of $25 million the day he was fired, and they also offered to remove the mitigation language in his contract, which would have reduced the buyout amount if he coached again. They increased the offer to $30 million, and so far he said no to all of it. So they're kind of at a standstill and a little bit of a game of poker right here as far as his contract buyout goes.
Man, we should all be so lucky to be in a position one day where someone says, hey, we'll give you $25 million today, and you tell them to go kick rocks.
Yep.
I hope we all find ourselves playing that hand at some point in our lives.
Actually, it's funny. I was thinking when you said that. So he has a $54 million buyout. They're like, we'll give you $25 million. Why would he take that? I don't know. I understand
they were
going to
make some other concessions.
Yes,
right?
I think it was meaning it would free him
you
up
get
to
the money so you could invest
to
it.
Pursue other coaching opportunities.
The guy's 63 years old, and he's a gajillionaire. What other coaching opportunities?
6
retire,
p.m.
Dude.
Eastern today. They want a letter that says the school intends to fulfill its contractual obligation. Absent this written confirmation, Coach Kelly will pursue all available legal remedies.
I actually give LSU's administrators credit. Like, they have a $54 million buyout. It's like, hey, we owe you $54 million. Here's 20. Like, what? Based on what? They owe him $54 million. Anyway, it's good for LSU.
And all the gumbo he can eat.
Yeah.
What else are you going
to
throw in?
It did say the last part. His lawyers told LSU officials he's still open to additional offers if the university provided this written confirmation. They're big on this written confirmation that they intend to pay the $54 million.
Yeah, I'd
be too.
Yes.
I'm going to want that in writing.
Yes.
We can't do a handshake deal on $54 million.
I don't know what the additional offers are that he's open to, but I guess we'll find out in short order.
There really was zero reason to fire him midseason. Like, it doesn't achieve anything. I don't
even
know.
Thank you. That's what I said.
Yeah, no, I know.
So
I was watching him this weekend. I was like, I don't even know. Like, this poor interim coach. Like, they were kind of tough, but still.
Oh, they got smoked by Alabama. What was the final score? Well,
20-9.
The final score was, 20-9. I guess
no,
not so
it wasn't.
Bad. Never
actually,
felt
no,
like
no,
they were in
actually,
it.
Actually, it was pretty, I mean, close, but.
I don't know.
Alabama kind of messed around.
LSU's defense, they have some guys
they
on
do.
That defense.
Garrett Nussmeier got benched in the game.
I mean, that's the offense, Maggie.
Yeah. Well, that's why Brian Kelly ultimately
exactly.
got fired.
By the way, their defensive coordinator, Blake Baker, who actually used to be Miami's defensive coordinator, I mean, I don't know if you saw a couple weeks ago, he said that Brian Kelly didn't have them actually simulating like actual game scenarios. Like, the new coach, first thing they did was actually simulate game scenarios, and everybody's like, what the hell is Brian Kelly doing in practice?
We get a lot of that, don't we? Hugh Freeze, it was a lot of what would you say you do around here? Brian Kelly, a little what would you say you do around here? Like,
I mean, how do you have a practice if you don't actually simulate what the other team's going to do in a game? What's the point of practice?
Yeah. What do you do? What would you say you do here?
What is it?
It's the same with Paul D. Podesta, the guy who got fired from the Browns, who's now taking over the Colorado Rockies. Like, you lived in San Diego. Somehow you're running the Browns, but they also had a GM. But did you help make a decision? Did you not? Like, what do you do?
I was talking to my, you know, I have a friend who used to be president of the Browns, went to high school with me. He's the one who hired D. Podesta. We were talking about this weekend. The fact that he wouldn't move from San Diego was awesome. Like, I mean, God bless this dude.
I get it.
You don't think half the people in Cleveland wish they could move to San Diego? Yeah, right. I mean, not a hot take. All right, we got to take a break. CeeLo, thank you. We'll talk to you next hour. M&P 500 comes your way next.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray and Japroloff. We do this every Monday. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend, Pro? Why don't you get us started? Whose stock is up?
Okay, I'm going to go with New England Patriots rookie Trayvon Henderson.
Yeah.
Ran for 147 yards and two touchdowns, but that's not it. He was running in at the end of the game. The Patriots had a lead, and he broke one. And he looked over to the sideline to see whether he should get down or not, because that's the new trend in football, where you get down at the one-yard line so your team can kill out the clock. In real time, he looks over, and I think they showed video. Drake May was saying, get down, but the coaching staff wasn't doing anything. He did run in, which I think technically was the right move, Maggie. I'm not sure, because it is sometimes it's effective, but they did win the game 28-23. He was awesome, but to actually have the wherewithal to check it out with your coaching staff in the game was amazing.
Yeah, and it's smart because whenever somebody scores when they're not supposed to, there's like this massive rush online for everyone to be like, you idiot. It's like, what would you do in that moment, right? In the middle of the game, you don't think you're going to break free basically from midfield and you're going to end up scoring. You may have not thought of the scenario.
Yeah. Of course.
Yet. Okay, my stock up is going to go to Matthew Stafford. And I think we've all believed that Stafford peaked, Pearl, when he won the Super Bowl and left Detroit and won the Super Bowl with the Rams. And I actually don't even know if that's true, because he seems like he's getting more and more respect, getting better. Not that he's necessarily getting better, but he's like climbing in the, oh my gosh, are we actually watching one of the great quarterbacks of all time, like kind of conversation. He's not going to be in a Mount Rushmore, nothing like that. But the Stafford's legacy has just taken on this new life since he's been with the Rams. And think about it, this offseason the Rams basically told him, go out and try to find the best deal you can. He was like an eyelash away from being the Raiders quarterback, and he's probably going to be the MVP this year. Okay, stock goes up, which means the stock has to go down. What do you got?
I would question that. Probably going to be the MVP. Okay, stock is literally moving down, and that would be the Jets draft capital. And this is really just to troll EJ over there. They beat the Browns. All the stats that are coming out about how inefficient they were on offense and actually had the win are hysterical. Basically, you said earlier in the show, Justin Fields, except for a screen pass to Breece Hall for a touchdown, threw for 12 yards on about 10 attempts.
This crap is crap.
It was amazing. They scored two touchdowns on special teams back-to-back and set all kinds of records. It was the ugliest win I might have ever seen, but it's a W, and it moves them down in the draft order.
Rest in peace to all my ops.
You know, I'm going to go stock down, but for the other side of the ball, the other side of the field, Kevin Stefanski, the Browns. Pearl, the day that they traded away Joe Flacco, I think you and I thought, all right, Stefanski is safe. They know he's safe. They're going to get rid of Flacco, and they know the season's going to be a wash, but Stefanski is going to get a chance at the next quarterback. I don't think that's true anymore. I don't think you can trust the Cleveland Browns ownership. And yesterday, it felt like they were actually trying to win that game, and they just couldn't. Their team is bad and kind of dumb.
The dumbest football team.
There's a great stat from that game from ESPN Research. Since 1950, teams are 225-0 when holding opponents to 175 or fewer yards and committing zero turnovers. 225-0. Jets didn't get to 175.
They had 35 quarterbacks. All of them were losers.
Okay.
I mean, how Cam Thomas jumped off sides on the 4th-and-4 when every person over the age of 6 months old knew that the Jets were not running a play there. That's awful.
This team could win the Super Bowl if they were the only team in the NFL.
I'll do an obvious stock up. Jonathan Taylor. I assumed that running backs never win the MVP, so I assumed that he was going to come back to earth. He went the exact opposite direction. He was a house on fire, single-handedly won that game for the Colts over the Falcons in Germany. I don't quite know how he does it. Like, how would you describe Jonathan Taylor? He's not a total burner, and he's not a total bruiser. He's not Derrick Henry. He's not ridiculous like Saquon Barkley.
Or Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, He just breaks tackles and goes 83 yards for a touchdown. Is that a fair description?
He's amazing. He is the MVP right now. My last stock up, how about USC? I know they didn't invent this, Pearl, but they pulled off something pretty sneaky on Friday night. They had their third string quarterback, Sam Heward, Damon Heward's son, disguised himself as the punter, wore number 80. They changed the jersey right before the game, and he was able to connect on a fake punt, and the Trojans end up scoring on that drive. They end up winning pretty easily over Northwestern. The Big Ten later comes out and says this was the rule that they broke was called the unfair tactics rule, so this should have gotten called and penalized, but too late now. They scored the touchdown. They won the game.
I read that the second play, when the punter came back on the field with the same number, that's when the flag should have been thrown. Mm. So if they kept Sam, they couldn't really throw the flag there. If they kept Sam Heward a punter, they would have been fine.
Can he punt?
Yeah, it was when the next guy came back. So that was still, I guess this has happened a couple times. Sneaky.
Yeah, it's the first time something interesting's happened at USC in a while. Like a season. They already matched their win total from last year, by the way. Okay. Coming up next, what happened last night with Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers? Not good. Got the details for you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.